Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Glad you are here on this beautiful November morning. Went outside to start the truck this morning, and it made me check the weather app on my phone. I said, oh, this is the high today. Felt good. Glad you are here. I wanted to start us off this morning in Leviticus 16. Leviticus 16. As God has brought his people out of Egypt and giving them rules to live by and ways by which to worship him properly, a very important thing is given to them in Leviticus 16, and that is all about atonement. It's all about atonement. And so what Israel was supposed to do is they were supposed to take two live animals. And one would be sacrificed to the Lord, and then the other one would be what is commonly known as the scapegoat. That is, Aaron would put his hands on the head of this animal, and he would confess all of their sins from the previous year. And so all the people and all the tribes, all of their sins were being put upon that animal. And then while he is doing that, there was a volunteer who was ready with, you know, you can imagine them with their little rope. And they were standing there at the ready. And as soon as all the sins were put on the head of that goat, Aaron would bring that goat to the man. He'd put the rope around and he would take him off into the wilderness and release him there. In Leviticus 16, verse 20, it says, and when he has made an end of atonement for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Now, of course, in the New Testament, in describing Christianity and our faith in Jesus Christ, some of the authors come back to this moment, to this very thing, this deed, and say, Jesus, for us, took all of our sins upon himself. And he was killed outside of the camp. He was buried outside of the camp. And so as we look back in what Israel received in this gift of atonement, it helps every single one of us to appreciate and to trust our forgiveness of sins. See, the wonderful gift for us is that Jesus took all of our sins upon himself and he took them to Calvary. Now, church, just like that goat was never seen again, when our sins are forgiven, they are gone. The price has been paid. You owe no further debt to God. And so now that we've gathered here in his name, now that we are here to lift him up in praise and worship, we are unimpeded. We are unencumbered. We have confessed our sins to him. We have placed our sins on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in faith. The price has been paid. Our sins are gone. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of mercy and grace this morning with thankful hearts. Father, we are so very grateful that we can come to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are so very thankful that you provided for us not a goat to take our sins into the wilderness for a year, but you have sent for us your very own Son who died on the cross once for all sin for all time. Father, our hope and our faith are in Jesus Christ. We will not waver. We believe what has been done for us. We believe in what you have provided for us. We believe that Jesus is your Son and the only one capable of giving us this wonderful, amazing, eternal gift. Father, we thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you for removing from our hearts, from our souls, and from our minds all of our misdeeds, all the ways in which we've missed the mark, all the ways in which we've fallen short, all the ways in which we've disappointed you and others. Father, we thank you for removing our sins. And now this morning, Lord, I pray that with pure hearts, Father, with clean conscience, we will behold your glory, that we will not have anything that reminds us of guilt, that keeps us hidden in shame, but that this morning, our worship, we will be where you are. We thank you, Father, for granting us the righteousness of your Son. We thank you, Father, for making us holy and setting us apart from this world. We offer you our spiritual sacrifice. We give you our lives and our hearts and our faithfulness. We ask, Father, that you strengthen us where we are struggling. We ask, Father, that you heal and put back in place what has been broken. Father, we ask that you fill us with your Spirit so that we may see you clearly, so that we may know how to please you. We love you so very much. We thank you for allowing us this time of worship. And we pray, Father, that all of our worship will be received well by you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
this will be the psalm before the scripture. Teach me, Lord, to wait right down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer.
Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 through 21. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man, greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel. For from this first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand what has happened to you, to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me, and I said, O man, greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak for you. You have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for letting us gather in one place to worship you. And Lord, as we go throughout our week in our life, Lord, let us keep in mind that we follow you and not the ways of the world or the people of the world. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Please stand. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless fame, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied.
The man who sinned on him was slain. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Be seated, please. This will be the song to get us ready for the Lord's Supper.
Tis midnight and on olives brown, the star is dim and lately shone. Tis midnight in a garden.
Does everyone have their supplies for the Lord's Supper? As we meditate this morning, let's hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31, starting in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day that when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall they teach, that shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Our Savior has given us this table to remind us that we are his people, and that he is our God, and to remind us that he has forgiven us our iniquity and remember our sins no more. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus given for us. We thank you for this bread which reminds us of the sacrifice made for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we're thankful for this cup of thanksgiving, and we give praise and honor to you for the covenant that it represents in the blood of your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Father, help us to live each day as you have directed us to live as disciples of your Son and our Savior. Help us to give all things to you in our lives, and help us to remember whose we are, that we are your people, and that you are our God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you wish to contribute to the support of this church, there are plates in the foyer. Thank you.
Heavenly honor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. When we raise up a standard, the power of his blood, the battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory.
Let's stand one more time.
Lord, the people praise you, lift you up and raise you. You are the Holy One, you're the one, you're the only one. Lord, the people love you, place nobody above you. Bless your name, Lord Jesus, only name that frees us. You are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. We will bless you right here and now. Bless the hills and rocks, cry out. You're the one, you're the only one. Alleluia, 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 all the glory.
Morning, church. I am glad that you are here. I'm glad that I am here. And I think I feel like 78% better than last Sunday. My depth perception is, 78, maybe 78.4, but my depth perception is better, and I feel pretty good. And I tell you what, being able to sing, I think I miss singing more than preaching. So it's just good to have a singing voice this morning and praise God together. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your love. Thank you for allowing us to gather together. Father, as we study your scriptures, I pray that you open our eyes and ears. As we take in your story of what you have done in the past, of what you are doing today, and what you will do in the future, I pray, Father, that our faith is strengthened. I pray, Father, that we will join in the spiritual battle that is going on. I pray, Father, that we will trust your victory as much as we trust the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ. Father, strengthen us. Make us more useful in your kingdom. Make us more faithful to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 17, verse 15, Jesus prays for his disciples, and he goes to the Father and he says, "Father, I ask not that you take my followers out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Jesus says his desire for us, he asks the Father to help us to do this. He says, "Father, I am not going to ask that you remove them from your creation. I am not going to ask that you whisk them away to heaven. My prayer and my desire for them, wherever they are, however they live, whatever it looks like, my prayer for them is that you protect them from the evil one." There's a few things that we get from that, and they pertain very well and help us really understand this final lesson of the heavenly places from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And that is, our Lord and Savior is more concerned about our victory in our spiritual warfare than he is about our own personal comfort and safety. He knows that the ultimate victory is the only victory worth winning. And he also knows that as many days as you and I have in service to our King in this life, that's the only time that we have to make a positive influence in the lives of others. And so Jesus says, "For my followers, Father, keep them here. Their goal is not to be removed. Their goal is not to escape safely so that they don't have to worry about anything anymore. Father, keep them here. Keep them in the fight and give them victory." This actually helps us better understand these heavenly places that Paul describes in Ephesians. And we've been looking the past several weeks that the heavenly places, the spiritual realm, this is where God's blessings are. This is where Jesus Christ is. This is where we have been raised up. This is where God's wisdom is seen in the church. And then finally, one, it seems like it kind of takes a turn. It's a little darker than the others. This is where the spiritual forces of evil dwell. Now, it's probably not an accident that the Apostle Paul writes to Christians and says, all right, look, here's some good, here's some good, here's some good, here's some bad. Because, well, Paul knows, just like any of us, that if he laid out the bad news first, that a lot of people would go, what? No, I don't want that. So he builds things up and he says, look, you have this benefit and you have this advantage in the heavenly places, in the spiritual realm, in the place where God is, in the place where angels are, in the place where warriors are, in the place where servants are, in the place that he has brought you to. It is amazing. It is powerful. It is wonderful. And it still includes a battle. So church, this is kind of a tough lesson. It's kind of a tough lesson, first and foremost, just understanding the reality of it. And then it's kind of a tough lesson understanding that we've been called into it. And then it's kind of a tough lesson to learning how to win it. But that's what we're going to tackle this morning. When we better understand the spiritual realm of God, that we have been made a part of while our lives are still on this earth. Church, you and I have been brought to the heavenly places. You and I have been brought and made a part of this spiritual realm where God is, yet still living our lives here in the flesh. Which is why everything that we do in following God requires faith. That's why faith is so very important. The Bible offers us a glimpse of this spiritual reality. And so today I wanted us to kind of take a page from a couple of stories. Scotty read for us from Daniel chapter 10. This is a great story in Daniel in that earlier in chapter 10, Daniel is praying for 3 weeks. He's praying and fasting for 3 weeks. That difficult things are going on all around him. In the kingdom that he has been captured and made a part of. Life is not easy. You've read the book of Daniel. You know for Daniel and all his buddies that stay faithful to God in enemy territory, life is not easy. It's difficult. And yet God is there at every turn for Daniel because Daniel has faith in God. Daniel doesn't look around and say, well, here's some enemies over here. Here's some enemies over here. Everything's hopeless. Daniel looks directly to God and says, God, I am going to be faithful to you no matter what my enemies are doing. And God is with Daniel at every turn. God saves his life. God delivers him from the enemy. God uses him to be a voice to these foreign enemies and kingdoms. And so here in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is crying out to God. He is refusing food. He is praying constantly. And a messenger from God shows up. A messenger from God shows up. And he says, Daniel, I've got an answer for you. God loves you. God loves you and he has heard your prayers. And now I've been sent to bring an answer for you. Now, if you and I were Daniel, and I'm kind of surprised that Daniel didn't say it. What took you so long? I've been praying for 3 weeks. I've been fasting for 3 weeks. I have been turning my face to you for 3 weeks. Seriously? What took you so long? Well, the messenger tells Daniel, even though he hasn't out loud asked this question, the messenger says, Daniel, what's going on in your prayers is that you have entered into this spiritual conflict. Now, did you notice what the angel calls those who are leading the warring nations? Did you catch that? Where was it? Verse 20. The prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. And then up in verse 13, he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Daniel, as soon as you started to pray, God sent me. As soon as you started to pray, right there where you are, God sent me to come and provide an answer.
But the prince of Persia got in my way, and I've been fighting to get through this entire time. Now, why is that story important? Well, it's important because in Ephesians chapter 6 that we will get to in a moment, Paul uses this same language and says that our fight is with the authorities in the heavenly places. Princes of kingdoms. That's where our battle is. That's who our battle is against. In fact, Paul will tell us, our battle is not against flesh and blood. Anyone that you can see is not your enemy. People are to be loved. The enemy is a spiritual enemy. And so the angel comes to Daniel and says, look, Daniel, I know it's taken a while for me to get here, but that's because I have been fighting to get here. This is not our prayer and our spiritual warfare is not something where we go to God and we rub the genie lamp and he pops out and says, hey, what do you need today? Our involvement in spiritual warfare is happening in a place that we can't always see, we can't always understand, probably because we can't see it. And unfortunately, for too many of us, it is a place that we just don't want to be involved in. But the messenger says, Daniel, I have been sent and I've got some good news for you. And that good news is about what's coming in the future. You need to know. And to receive that news, he tells him in verse 19, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. To hear the message from God requires strength. It requires strength to hear what God is trying to tell us. Now, Paul would echo this, as we will see in a minute. Paul will echo this thing. But everything Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 6, it's been done before. It's been done before. Here in Daniel, we have the recording, the recollection of this reality. This is spiritual warfare. This is spiritual warfare. So when you and I are told to put our armor of God on, when you and I are told to do things like this, like wield the sword of the Spirit and to pray constantly, this is why. It is not because, oh, well, America's going this direction or that direction and there's so much outright sin around us and people are so bad. No, people are so lost. Which is why Jesus says, get out there and share with them the good news. What is so bad are these evil spiritual forces that are fighting in a realm where God is that you and I cannot see with the naked eye. That's where the evil is. And so you and I have to have the faith to enter into that battle. And that's what we've been called to, church. We have not been called out of this world. We have not been called to sit on the sidelines. We have been called to be active participants. You remember that song we sang as kids, right? Yeah, exactly. It has choreography. I may never march in the infantry. Let's see, what came next? Oh, yeah. Ride in the cavalry. But you better believe I'm in the Lord's army. Now, you may not be a horse rider. You may not have a machine gun. But church, you better believe we are in a fight. We are in a struggle. We're in a constant battle. We're in a constant battle. And church, if we will take the biblical example, we can be a part of the victory. We can be a part of the victory. Turn back to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6 is another amazing story. that kind of opens our eyes to what is going on in the heavenly places. In 2 Kings chapter 6, this story is basically a part where Elisha is serving as the prophet of Israel. And the king of Syria is warring against Israel. He's coming in and he's fighting against Israel over and over. And every time he's going to have a raid or he's going to fight Israel in a certain place, Israel figures it out. Israel figures it out. So the king of Syria is like, okay, what is going on? Who is the traitor in my camp? Who keeps telling Israel where we're going to be and where we're going to go? And they're like, it's Elisha. He's the man of God. He's the only man of God. And he knows. He knows, and he is letting Israel know. Well, the king of Syria is like, well, that's enough. That's enough. So bring all the warriors. Let's go get them. Let's go get them. Let's put an end to this. Now, this is a literal physical war in the physical realm that can be seen with the eyes, that can be experienced by the senses. But something else is happening. Something else is happening, and that's, church, what I want us to see. 2 Kings chapter 6, go to verse 15. 2 Kings 6, 15. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid. For those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Okay, here's Elisha's servant, this boy, who gets up in the morning, he looks out the window, rubbing his eyes, and And he runs and he wakes up Elisha. It's kind of like the disciples waking up Jesus in the boat. It's kind of like one of those things. He runs back to Elisha and says, Elisha, look out the window, look, we're surrounded. This is it. That's the enemy. They got horses and they got chariots. They've brought all the modern warfare around us. And we are surrounded. This is it. And the prophet looks right at his servant and says, don't be afraid. But we're surrounded. Don't be afraid. They brought chariots. Don't be afraid. There's a lot of them. Don't be afraid. And then, after he tells his servant not to be afraid, he says, the reality of the situation is those that are on our side outnumber those fighting for the enemy. All right. Church, I won't even ask you to raise your hand, but you've been in situations in your life where you have feared because you assumed that whatever enemy you were facing was bigger, stronger, more powerful than what you had at your disposal. We've been there, haven't we? It's why we're afraid. It's why we're afraid of anything. We're afraid of losing. That's what we fear. We're afraid of losing. We're afraid of losing our health. We're afraid of losing our life. We're afraid of losing our ability to make a living. We're afraid of losing our friends. We're afraid of losing our family members. We're afraid of losing our standards. We're afraid of losing our comforts. We are afraid. And when we fear, it's because we do not trust and we do not know. The fact of the matter is that those that are on our side, on the Lord's side, outnumber those fighting for the enemy. So, Elisha does something amazing. Now, you and I may not always get this, but Elisha does this for his servant. He prays to God in verse 17, and he says, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So he said, don't be afraid. The reality is there's a lot more fighting for us than there are for the enemy. And then he goes to God in prayer and says, open my servant's eyes. Give him this gift. He needs to see this. He needs to see what I know, what I trust. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So his first prayer is for his servant. Lord, let him see. Servant's eyes are open and he sees chariots of fire and the amazing army of the Lord all around the hill and all around Elisha. Elisha's not scared. He's on the side of the Lord. There's nothing to fear when you're on the side of victory. There's nothing to be afraid of. Church, we Christians, there is nothing to fear. Nothing. Because nothing in all of creation, nothing in any spiritual battle is greater than the Lord. Elisha knew this. He shared this gift with his servant. And then he prays again and says, strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. So the warfare, the spiritual warfare again, prayer. Elisha prays and God answers. Elisha asks God and he shows up. Verse 19, Elisha said to them, this is not the way. This is not the city. And at least three of you said inside your head, these are not the droids you're looking for. I know it. Elisha pulls a Jedi mind trick on him. He says, this is not the way you want to go. This is not the city that you've been brought to attack. Follow me and I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. Well, he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, shall I strike them down? You've delivered me my physical enemy. You brought them right here to my doorstep. Shall we destroy them now? He answered in 22, no, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Now that very last statement is very important. The raids stopped. The man of God went to God. God answered, delivered the warring army somewhere else. And then when he brings them, when he delivers the enemy to the foot of the king, tells the king, no, these are enemy combatants that have been captured in battle. Feed them and send them home. Feed them and send them home. Church, what does Jesus tell us to do with our enemies? Love them. If they're hungry, feed them. If they need something, serve them. Send them on their way. Why? Because if I kill them, they're done. If I resort to their tactics and fight them, I've lost them. So he says, love them. Serve them. Well, Lord, how can I do that? Again, there's that old nagging fear, right? I can't possibly love my enemies or send them back or meet their needs while they're here in my care. I can't possibly do that. What if they hurt me again? What was the last verse that we read in the story? The raids stopped. Because when you see the power of God, you are changed. I don't care who you are. When you experience the glory and power of God, your life is different and you can no longer live the way that you lived before. Church, are you and I different people now that we have experienced the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Absolutely. And yet for some reason, what the enemy does is he confounds us Christians, he closes our eyes to the fact, and we start to look at our enemies, and we can't possibly imagine a scenario in which God could affect their life for change and for good. So we don't serve them. We don't love them. We treat them as the enemy. So this is exactly why Paul, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. This is exactly why Paul saves the spiritual warfare for the end of these promises. And if we understand the promises and the realities that we have in Jesus Christ, in the spiritual realm, we do not need to fear the enemy. Church, we are sent out into this world. After we all leave here, we are going to go into this world. It's going to be at school, and it's going to be at work, and it's going to be at our family Thanksgiving, and it's going to be in the news, and it's going to be with our elected officials. It's going to be everywhere. We are going to be in the midst of the enemy. And we have got to know, how are we going to live? How are we going to love? How are we going to serve? How are we going to be faithful to Jesus? Because we talk a good game. We love Jesus. We actually absolutely appreciate what he has done for us. But that whole following him and being like him, that's a bit more of a stretch, isn't it? Yeah. Look, we've been Christians long enough that we don't need the milk anymore. We need to start testing those fangs on some real meat. And the milk is if my faith is only as far to finally understand and realize what my sins are actually forgiven, that I don't have to spend all my energy and prayers. Lord, please help me. Please forgive me. Please take care of me. Please, 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 please provide for me. Once our faith is real enough and powerful enough to realize that that's been taken care of, then you and I will enter into the responsibility and the amazing story of God that he has called us to. When we recognize that we are in a fight, we will learn how to conquer. So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong. Same thing that the angel tells Daniel. All right, this is tough news. Be strong. Be strong and in the strength of his might. Well, I'm not a very strong person. Lord, my faith just isn't strong enough to even understand all this spiritual realm and spiritual warfare stuff. My faith isn't that strong. The Apostle Paul looks at us and says, be strong. But I'm not very strong. In God's strength. I'm not fighting alone. And I'm not fighting with the weapons that I have. I am fighting on the side of the Lord. I am support staff. There's a battle going on in the heavenly places. And I am not actually on the front lines. You and I have ourselves convinced, ooh, we're on the front lines. The world is so scary and so many bad things and bad people, and they're trying to get me to... It's all so horrible. We're support staff. The real fight is in the heavenly places. So we read on. We got to be convinced of this. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil is still after you. We know this part, right? Yep. We know this part. The devil is after you. Why would he want an army of God praying in support of those spiritual forces that are warring against his demons? If he can get you and I focused upon ourselves and our problems and our earthly reality and not jumping into that spiritual reality, how do you think it's going to go? It's not because God is weak. It's because he's called us to faith. He has called us to join in this fight. You know, Michael, we already have the victory in Christ. We do have the victory in Christ, but the fight is still going on. What you see around you in the world and the evil and the darkness and the horribleness, it's because we're not fighting. It's not because God is losing. God's coming with the death blow. All right? God is showing up. I know how this fight ends. I know how the war ends. But how's your battle going to turn out? How's the battle in your neighborhood looking? How's the battle at your workplace going? That's where you have been, deployed. You have been deployed in your family, your workplace, your school, your neighborhood. That's where you have been deployed. How's that battle going? And if all you're doing is sending messages back to a command, just complaining about how bad it is, instead of being in the fight, what you're supposed to be doing, of course it's going bad. Of course it's going bad. So now that we have put on our armor of God, we're going to stand against the devil because he's got us convinced that our enemies are our political opponents. He's got us convinced that our enemies are those who would change the ways of America into a place that makes me feel uncomfortable or angry or scared. The enemy has us convinced that our enemy, the real enemy has you and I convinced that our actual enemy is flesh and blood. But Paul says in verse 12, we don't fight against flesh and blood. That's not your enemy, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. Oh, wait a minute. He's just told me that it's presently dark. Absolutely. The light of Jesus has not come back yet. When he comes back, he'll bring the light. Right now, it's presently dark. We're in a fight. We have been saved, but we are still in a fight in which these spiritual powers are allowed to war against the sons of God. This is going on. This is happening. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. All right, you know what? I read the story about Daniel. I read the story about Elisha. I get it. I get it. I hear Paul say it. It's still happening. That's what it looks like. It is reality. So what do I do? What do I do? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Anybody else ever come face to face with the reality that when you experience a spiritual victory, that it doesn't last forever? Yeah. The Lord gave me strength, and I was able to reach out to someone that I have been praying for and need to share with the gospel. And it goes so well until it doesn't go well. And the Lord gives me strength, and I am able to withstand that temptation, and I'm doing so good, and then I wasn't paying attention, and that temptation got the better of me. Or my emotions and my faith are so strong, and I am trusting God, and I know He's going to take care of me, and I know He's there for me, and I know it's all going well, and then something happens in my life where I'm just taken out at the knees, and I go, what? How could this happen? Another bad thing happening to me? Why is this happening to me? Why are so many bad things happening to me? Look, as long as you're drawing breath, you're going to be in the fight. Until Jesus comes back, battles are going to be fought. The war will not end until our Lord and Savior shows up and everyone will bow their knee, lay down their weapons and say, yep, here's the real power. We're done. That's when the fight is over. Right now, we're in the fight. Right now, we have got to understand that we're in the fight and believe that we are in the fight. And right now, we've got to fight in the proper way. Now, it would be so easy just to fight like the world fights, right? To strike out at those who don't get along with me. To talk bad about them. To resort to violence. To do bad things and just to fight like they do. But that's not the point. The point is to win them over to the side of victory. That's what Elisha did. They were right there for the taking. He could have had the king of Israel kill the entire army of Syria and just been done with it. And he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He says, look, you've already beat them. They're beat. They're right there. They're yours. So what do you do when you finally beat an army? It's not about annihilation. You know American history. You know we've been in wars. Even when we go to wars with other nations or with other peoples, the point is not to annihilate. The point is to break their spirit. Right? That's how you win a war. You break their spirit till they wave the white flag and say, no more. We're done. And then you say, ah, good. We'll show you a better way. Yeah, that's how wars happen. That's how wars are won. Well, for us, wars are won when we win over our enemies, when we show them love and mercy, when we fight as Jesus fights. Now, if you're going to enter in the fight that you have been called to, because a little news flash, you're already in the fight, whether you know it or not. If you're going to stand firm, if you're going to fight as you were called to fight, if you're going to experience the victory, you have got to make sure you are wearing the armor of God. God's given you everything you need. He's given you everything you need, so make sure every single day you put your armor on, because you are fighting with spiritual forces and you can't see the spiritual forces. You got to know, though, every day they're after you. Every day they're shooting their arrows at you. Every day they're trying to knock you down. Every day they're just trying to get you to say, I can't do it anymore. I'm just going to be a sideline Christian. I'm just going to be a cheerleader Christian. I'm just going to stand over here and bide my time and just try to not get in the way. No, Paul says all these blessings that we've been given in the heavenly places, they are for the purpose of you and I joining the fight. So, how do we use our spiritual weapons and tactics to win the battle that God has put us in? Pray that God opens your eyes. Pray that God opens your eyes. You walk and you live and you go everywhere God sends you each and every day. You have got to pray, God, what do you want me to see today? Who is the enemy that needs to be won over today? Not destroyed, won over. Who is the person that needs to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ today? Who is the one that needs to see mercy and love today? Who is the one that is just so angry and just treats me like just so horribly that needs to see me turn the other cheek and show them there is a better way to live their lives? Who is just that foot soldier in the army of Syria that needs to be given bread and water and sent on their way so that when they get back and their king says, all right, we're going to go fight Israel again, and they just say, nope, I'm not doing it. Those people are not deserving of my wrath. I'm going to lay down my weapons. Pray that God opens your eyes. Suit up every day. Put on the full armor of God each and every day. Now, how do we do this? Three things. Have faith. Have faith, because you're not going to see it. You're not going to recognize it. You're not going to trust it. You're not going to believe it without faith. This is why it requires faith. Number two, be in God's word. Be in God's word, because look what he says. Number one in verse 15, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Be in God's word. That's how you win over your enemy, and that's how you are protected from more powerful enemies. You share the message of Jesus. That wins over your enemies. And then you stand firm on God's word, and that's how the enemy goes, all right, I'm going to leave you alone for a while because I have nothing left to say. You have got to know God's word. That is your weapon. And finally, pray. Pray. Church, our lives have got to be filled with prayer if we are going to affect the battle that is raging in the spiritual realm. We have got to be people of prayer. We've got to. It is low-hanging fruit. It is so easy for us to look at the world around us and just point out all the ways in which it's not right. It's just so easy to point at the things in the world around us and say, well, that's wrong, that's evil, that's horrible, that's awful, that should be different, someone should do something about that. But unfortunately, church, we've kind of turned into those kind of people. But there's no power there. There's no power there. The power is in prayer. The power is when God's people who know and trust Him start saying, I'm going to devote my time to prayer. I am going to ask God to deliver this victory. I see an area, a part of this world, an area of my battlefield that is being run over by the enemy, and I am going to ask God to fight for it, to affect it, to change it, to do something about it. Church, that's what we are called to do. That's the spiritual battle. And we probably don't do enough of it because we can't see it. You and I did not come to Jesus because we saw Him. You now have not seen Him, yet you believe in Him. You came to Him in faith. You came to the Son of God in trust and hope that what He did for you 2,000 years ago has eternal consequences on your lives. That took faith. And now that you are here as His, as God's child, as Jesus' brother or sister, you have got to continue to live in faith. So I'll leave you with this. What God has done in the heavenly places changes your life right here, right now. And what you do right here, right now, brings victory in the heavenly places. It's time to fight. It's time to fight as God would have us fight. It begins with you becoming a child of God, and it begins with you showing your faith and your trust in Jesus' sacrifice for your sins. So if you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to enlist. We invite you to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. To receive that gift, that wonderful, amazing thing that Jesus did for us at Calvary by taking all of our sins and removing them from us. So if you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to take care of that. And if you are a Christian this morning, if you are a Christian today, and everything that we have gone through in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, all the things that are ours in the spiritual realm, that is your reality. It's where you are. It's where Jesus is. It's where all of God's blessings are. And it is where your battlefield is. It's time to fight. It's time to fight, church. Let's do what we've been called to do. Let's make the positive impact as followers of Jesus that we have been called to do. This week, look at your battlefield. Where's the enemy winning? Pray. This week, where is your enemy? Where does it seem like they've got the upper hand? Pray. And expect and know that God is answering and sending warriors. Because the victory's His. The victory's His, but that battlefield in front of you, that's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. So, if you need prayers of encouragement, if you need anything, if you need to confess your faith in Jesus Christ, please do that today. Let's stand together and sing.
Seems that in so many ways I'm not enough like You. Take this weary vessel I am in and mold me once again. Change my heart, change my spirit, make me new.
Seated, please. Before we get to the announcements, I got a couple. So we announced that Aaron's mom has like some type of bone marrow cancer. It's not leukemia, but it's another type. She gets to start some new treatments on Tuesday. And they're, I guess they're kind of experimental treatments, but the treatments results and testing and all that have been very positive. Up to this point, there's not been any really good positive treatments. So we want to pray that everything goes well there. Also, if anyone is wanting to contribute to helping some of the Sunrise families here be able to provide Christmas, if you want to donate to that, if you'll get that to either Aaron or myself by December 6th. So that's all.
Well, glad everyone's here this morning. Glad to see some out-of-town folks. Glad to have them with us. Aside from the announcements that Tony made, is there anything else anybody needs to share this morning?
The Villegases are doing better.
All right. Let's lift these up. Lord Jesus, I come before you, and I thank you for this time that we've been able to just spend together in your presence this morning and get to sing songs of praise to you and worship and study your word. Lord, I just... lift up all these requests, Lord. Please continue to be with Aaron's mom and her family during this time, during this cancer treatment. Lord, I thank you that the Villegases are doing better and they're out of the hospital. And I pray for Lisa's niece that, Lord, she'd just be able to get some answers on the mass on her lung. I pray that your will would be done in that situation and that you would just provide healing and just give the doctors wisdom in that. Lord, I pray for Anna and just for any of our other members that are not present with us because of COVID concerns. I pray that you just give them the peace and comfort that they need and just let them know that they're still part of our body and that we love them and that we care for them. And I pray that we would just show them that love and care. Also pray for just for Charlie's grandmother and her aunt. I pray that you just provide protection to them and healing, Lord, and just for everyone else that is going through this sickness. I pray that you would just provide them the strength and healing that they need, and I pray that we would just continue to trust in you through this whole situation. And no matter what happens in this world, I thank you that our victory will one day be found in you, Lord. I just pray for just for us as we go out this week. I pray that we would just be the light that we need to be to those that are around us, and just please help us to just love our enemies and pray for them and just stand firm against the one true enemy in the heavenly places, Lord. It's in your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.